to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Tonight we're going to continue our Bible study series of What is God Really Like? The title of our lesson is The Name of the Lord, and we'll come back to that in just a moment. Question, what do you think of when you hear a person's name? What? A face. You think of what they look like. What else do you think of? What the name means? Okay. What else do you think of when you hear a person? I'm talking about a specific person. What else do you think of? Who they? But what do you mean by who they are? Just that it's so-and-so's wife, so-and-so's husband. Their character, okay. Anything else? Amanda? I'm sorry, what? Okay, the relationship you have with them.
Who or what?
They
represent.
They represent, all right. So a person's name is more than just the handle you use to know who somebody's talking about, all right? And when you hear somebody's name, you could have a positive response, a negative response, neither positive or negative. You know, you think of when you hear the name Sister Teresa, okay? You get a definite reaction unless you don't know who she is. If you don't know who she is, you ought to find out. All right? When you think of Martin Luther King Jr., certain response, you know? Saddam Hussein or Hitler. I mean, a different type of response. When you hear a person's name, it reminds you not just a person, but who they are, what they represent, all that kind of thing. And a question to think about, don't answer, but what do people think of when they hear your name? Okay? Because they don't just think of you as in your so-and-so's spouse or whatever. They think of your character. They think of what you represent. They think of how you present yourself. And so we're doing this series on what is God really like, and we're going to be talking today about God's name, the name of the Lord. Again, a little disclaimer, it's on the bottom of your note sheet, that even though I'm not teaching from the book, a lot of the information, a lot of the motivation behind this Bible study series was inspired and influenced by the book God Has a Name by John Mark Comer. And if you like to read, it's a good book to read. Just say like I did last week, I don't agree with 100% of everything he says, exactly the way he says it, but he's got some good stuff in there, all right? So tonight we're going to talk about the name of the Lord. Now, we want to talk about some general things about names in the Bible. And you may already know this, but on your note sheet, number one under the introduction is a name was often given to express something significant about the person. If you don't know how to spell significant, put special. If you don't have to spell special, put cool or something like that. I don't know. Okay? So, a name in the Bible was often given, whether it was given by God or a parent when a child was born or whatever, to express something significant about the person. In that culture, during those hundreds and hundreds of years, a parent would name a child based on something they desired for the child, or something they saw in the child, or something they hoped for the child, or some kind of circumstance surrounding the child's birth. Can you think of any examples of people in the Bible, it says very specifically, that they were named such and such and so because, and what that name meant? Emmanuel, yes, God with us. Yeah, Isaiah prophesied that, and it said that Jesus was called Emmanuel. What else? Jabez, yeah, what does Jabez mean? Pain, yeah, the trouble, yeah, pain, all right? Because he was born in pain, and it led to a great prayer. Lord, don't let me be a pain or have pain, okay? What are some other examples of names that are significant? What? I don't know. What does Michael mean? He's an archangel. Okay, what's another name? What? Who? Samson? I can't remember what the meaning is behind Samson's name. Yeah, you mentioned Moses, which means being drawn from the. So that's circumstances around not his birth, but you know the way he was found by Pharaoh's daughter. Yeah. What'd you say? Nabal means fool. Yeah. How many of you named your kids Nabal? Which one's that? Joshua's father?
Son of Nun.
Oh, the son of Nun. That was good. Okay. All right. Eve means living because she was the mother of all living. Ichabod. Okay, we think of that from the old story, but Ichabod means no glory, or the glory has departed, because God's glory had departed from his people because of their rebellion, and the Ichabod's mother gave birth, and she died, so she's just call him Ichabod. Anyway, it's sad. Abram means exalted father, and God said, I'm going to change your name to Abraham, which means father of many. The name Jesus means God is salvation, which also is the meaning of the name Joshua. Yes? What? Yes. Rachel, the mother of Benjamin, named him Ben-Oni, I believe. And it was, I forget the exact name, but it was a sad one. And Jacob says, no, he's going to be Benjamin, son of my right hand. Okay. So all these are examples. Okay. I like my name. Not bragging or anything. Just say, Timothy is two Greek words put together. One word is God. The other is honor. So it means either honored by God or honoring God. And I want to live up to honoring God, and I hope I will be honored by God because I honor God. So anyway, that's what my name. Do you know what your name means?
I know my name.
Everybody's like, yeah, we're not going to ask you to tell us because it'll take the rest of our time, okay? Your name means lame? Okay. We won't make any comments about that. So number one under the introduction is a name was often given to express something significant about the person. So number two, the name of the Lord is equated with God himself. You know, the Bible talks a lot about the name of the Lord, and it even talks about the name of Jesus. This is getting a little off track, but when it says you should believe in the name of Jesus, it's not just believing in this name, but because the name represents the person and who they are and what they've done and what they represent. That's what it means to believe in the name of Jesus. But in the same way, the name of the Lord is equated with God himself. I'll give you a couple of examples. The Bible talks about calling on the name of the Lord. It just means to call on the Lord himself, right? The Bible talks about all over the place. To praise the name of the Lord is to praise the Lord. To misuse the name of the Lord is to dishonor him. One of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of thy God in vain or misuse. It means to misuse because that name represents God. All right? And this is why Jesus taught us to pray, hallowed be your name, because we want to give the correct honor to God, not just the name he has. Okay? And then number three there, the names of God, and I have names in quote, and you'll find out why later. The names of God reveal aspects of his character, which just flows out of everything that we've already talked about. Okay, now we're going to get into our text. Excuse me. In Exodus 34, but I'm going to start off by reading a couple of verses from the chapter before, 33. This kind of is the root of this whole series, and we did talk about it last week, but God delivered his people out of Egypt, and they were so excited and praised God wonderfully, and then every time they had a difficulty, they would rant and complain and gripe. And God put up with a lot. Moses put up with a lot. And of course, when Moses is up on Mount Sinai, God's revealing himself and the Ten Commandments, all that kind of stuff. They ended up worshiping the golden calf. God gets upset. He says, listen. He says, Moses, let's just wipe them out, start a new nation with you. He says, no, you can't do that. It will bring disgrace on your name. Okay? You're known. You know how you're known in the world. This will bring a smudge, whatever, on your name. And God says, okay. But he says, you know what? I'm not going to go with you. I'll send an angel to go with you, whatever. And Moses says, if you're not going to go with us, we don't want to go. I don't want to go. So God finally says, okay, I'll go with you. All right? That's a whole study in itself, that we can have conversations with God. I'm not trying to talk him out of something. What I'm just saying, we can have conversations with God. So anyway, in Exodus 33, verse 11, it says, the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Down in verse 18 and 19, Moses said, please show me your glory. Now, we mentioned this last week. This is not Moses saying, God, I want to be overwhelmed by your glorious presence, although that certainly could happen. He's saying, show me who you really are, okay? Reveal yourself to me. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. Okay, now, I'll tell you this in just a minute. I'm sorry, I'm going to put that in a little bit later. So he says, I'm going to do this. He says, Tomorrow, we're going to meet on the mountain, and you can't see my full glory, it'll kill you, all right? But I'll just put you in a little hollow rock, kind of cover you over, and I'm going to come by, tell you my name, and reveal myself to you. Okay, so then we get to our actual text in Exodus 34, verses 5 to 7. The next day, and it says, "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.'" So God reveals who he is by giving his name and then describing his character. And that's really the foundation of this whole series, this whole study series, is we're going to be taking that passage just section by section and taking a look at what it reveals, what God has revealed about himself and his character, and actually how it was totally fulfilled in Jesus Christ too. All right. So God said he's going to reveal his name. Did you see his name in there? The Lord. But is the Lord a name? You know, there's titles and there's names, right? The Lord is kind of a title. Well, here's a little secret that you may know. If you're not, you're going to learn something very interesting tonight. Right there, when it says in verse 6, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, the Lord,'" those two phrases, the Lord," is not what it says in the original language. You're like, what? Wait a minute. What it says in the original language is God's name. But the Jewish people would never pronounce God's name. And I'll give you more details later about how that all worked. But in the original language, that's actually God's name that is there. Say, what is God's name? We're going to get to that in just a moment. Okay. All right. So when he says the Lord, he's actually giving his name. All right. Okay. So the identification of God's name on your note sheet. What's the difference between a title and a name? You mentioned the Lord is kind of a title. Mm-hmm. The name identifies the individual, and the title, what they represent, or a position, or whatever. Okay, exactly. You know, like me, I've got a name. It's Tim, originally Timothy McIntyre. You know, but as far as titles, I have a title of husband, father, son, papa, pastor, teacher. Different titles, okay? And in the Bible, we see that God has a lot of... How many titles of God are in the Bible? A ton, right? In fact, number one on there says, many titles are used for God in the Bible. Many titles are used for God in the Bible. Let me just give you some of them. They're not on your note sheet. This is just for you to kind of take in, okay? One of the most common title for God is Elohim. You probably heard that name before. It's used about 2,750 times in the Bible, and it's just translated God or strong one. Okay? There are related forms that are El and Eloah. Okay? And then there are some where they put El with some other things. You've probably heard of these. El Shaddai is God Almighty. Again, it's not really a name, it's a title. All right? El Elyon means God Most High. El Olam means the everlasting God. El Roy means the God who sees. Adonai is the word for Lord. It means Lord or master or owner. When we get to the New Testament, which is Greek, you've got Theos, which means God. Okay? And then you got Kurios, which means Lord, but it can also mean sir, owner, master, or Lord. You've got Despotes, which is kind of like despot, but it's translated sovereign Lord. It means master. And then you've got pater, which means father, which Jesus says that we can call God. And it's used of God 15 times in the Old Testament and 245 times in the New Testament. Now, all of these titles are used for God and give us some indication of some characteristics and character traits of God. But each and every one of them are also used for other, quote, gods, false gods, demonic spiritual forces or whatever, idols. They were the same terms that were used by the other cultures. So they're titles. In fact, some of these terms were used for people too. Like the word for Lord, you have to look at the context. Are they talking about a spiritual being? Or are they talking about somebody who's your boss? All right? Or if you're a slave, your owner or whatever. So these are all titles. And these titles are very, very important when they're referred to God, because they give us insight into who he is, what he does, and how we can relate to him. However, how many names does God have? How many personal names does God have as revealed in the Bible? What'd you say? Lots? Okay. Can you name one?
Jealousy.
Okay, that's not a name. That's a description. No, it's a description. A personal name. Jehovah or Yahweh. That actually is his name. And that actually is the only name, personal name, that is given for God in Scripture. Now, sometimes you have that one plus some more. You got Jehovah Jireh or Yahweh provided Jireh. They're both the same, Jehovah and Yahweh. You say, how? They don't even seem the same. I'm going to explain that in a little bit, okay? So you may have Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Rapha, and we'll talk some more about that. But there's only one personal name given for God in the Bible. All righty? Yes, Felix. That's what I just said. Yeah, Jehovah or Yahweh. They're both the same thing. That is his name. Okay? So let's read these scriptures here. Psalm 68:4. Let me look it up here. Psalm 68:4 says, sing to God, sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exalt before him. Again, right there where it says his name is the Lord, in the original Hebrew, it's not the Lord. It's Yahweh or Jehovah. His name is Jehovah. His name is Yahweh. Okay, I'm going to explain to you why it says the Lord rather than Jehovah and Yahweh in a little bit. Isaiah 42:8. Here, there we go. I couldn't mark all these with bookmarks because I'd have a hard time sorting through the bookmarks. Okay, Isaiah 42:8. It says, I am the Lord. And again, it doesn't say the Lord in Hebrew. It says, I am Yahweh. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. We go to Exodus 3. Now, this is getting back to the story when God is revealing himself to Moses. In Exodus 3, starting in, I hit the wrong button here. Exodus 3:13. Getting there. He says, this is when God tells Moses he wants him to go and deliver his people from Egypt. And it says, then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to act to you, and they ask, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. We're going to deal with that in a minute. And he said, say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel. The Lord, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. He says, this is my name. Yahweh or Jehovah is my name. That's the one thing Jehovah's Witnesses gets right. That's the name of God. Get a lot of other stuff wrong, but they got that one right. Okay? All right, one more passage, Exodus 6:2-8. It says, God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. Again, that's the word, or the name Yahweh. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord, or Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them. That word for known means fully known. Okay? They did know his name was Yahweh, but they didn't understand the full implications and all that kind of stuff. It wasn't until Moses had his conversations with God and he developed this covenant relationship with his people, Israel, that God fully revealed himself through his name, Yahweh. Okay? Going on, I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, or Yahweh, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord, Yahweh, your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. And so God revealed even more deeply his name and the meaning of his name, and he tied it together to having this covenant relationship with his people. On your note sheet, I have this little statement. God's personal name is Yahweh, Jehovah. It's literally spelled capital Y, capital H, capital W, capital H. If you want to be technical, that's what you should put in the blank. All caps, YHWH. You say, where are the vowels? I'll explain that in just a moment. That name for God is used over 6,800 times in the Old Testament. There are very, very few translations that actually translate that as Yahweh or Jehovah. The American Standard Version does, and a couple of others. So when you're reading your Bible and you see the Lord and it's all in caps, or what they call small caps, the actual word or the actual Hebrew word there is YHWH. It's called the tetragrammaton, which means a four-lettered expression. And the reason there's no vowels is because there aren't any vowels in Hebrew. Okay? When you think about it, and that's true of a lot of ancient languages, is when they were writing things down, they had to chisel it in stone or write it on papyrus that took a lot of time to make. And I mean, it was a big deal to write anything down. It's like, let's keep this as short as possible. Back in the days when you'd send telegrams, and it's like, you got to keep this as short as possible because you're going to pay for every letter. Okay? And maybe you've seen something like this. Maybe on Facebook, some of the social media or something. Have you ever seen one of those things that says, if you understand this, you're really smart? And it's got this statement, and it's all consonants. There's no vowels. And sometimes there's no spaces between the words. And you look and say, oh, yeah, I can read that, boom, boom, because your mind automatically fills in the vowels, right? That's the way Hebrew was. Now, later in history, there were people when writing utensils and writing paper and stuff was a lot more prevalent. They were called the Masoretes. Details you may not want to know, but I'm just telling you, that actually put in vowel sounds to make it easier to read. Okay, but in the original Hebrew, there are no vowels, and actually there weren't any spaces either. It's just letters all the way across. By the way, also they wrote from right to left too, not from left to right. All right, so anyway, his name is mentioned over 6,800 times in the Old Testament. Let's talk about the spelling of God's name, and this is where I'll explain the questions that maybe you have, okay? So anyway, why is it that in the English translation, or at least most English translations of the Bible, it says the Lord instead of Yahweh or Jehovah? Well, here's why. Because the Jewish people were so concerned that if they said God's name out loud, that they might be guilty of misusing it, they would not say it out loud. And whenever they would read their scriptures or quote their scriptures, instead of saying Yahweh, which again is in the scriptures 6,000 something times, they would say the Lord. They would say the Lord. They would say Adonai, which means Lord. They would substitute that and read it instead. And that tradition was applied when the Bible was finally translated into English. I don't know if they were trying to honor the Jewish tradition, if they had the same concern or whatever, but pretty much every English translation ever since, when the scholars are translating the Hebrew to the English, instead of putting in Yahweh or Jehovah, they put the Lord, but they differentiate it by making it all caps or all small caps, what they call it, okay? It was about 600 to 700 AD, so this is after Jesus, when there are these Masoretes that put in vowel things. But the thing is that they had gone so many centuries without pronouncing God's name, they couldn't remember what vowels were supposed to go in there. Okay? So what they did is they substituted the vowels from Adonai into YHWH. Okay? So if you look on your note sheet, number one, under the spelling of God's name, Yahweh, or YHWH, could literally be written as capital YAHOWAH. I'll tell it to you again if you want to write it down. Capital YAHOWAH. You say, well, that doesn't look like Jehovah or Yahweh either. It's similar. That looks like Yahuwah. Sounds like Jehovah, doesn't it? So where do we get Jehovah or where do we get Yahweh? Number two, in common usage, this has resulted in Jehovah or Yahweh. Jehovah came from Latin, which was one of the first languages that the Bible was translated into. And rather than a soft Y, they used a hard J sound. And the same thing for the W, they used a hard V sound. So it became Jehovah. And it was also made popular in German, because German is the same way. Okay? And of course, you have the whole Protestant Reformation with Martin Luther and all that kind of stuff. So it became known as Jehovah. But in Hebrew, the Y sounds like a Y. And the W sounds like a W. So that's why many people say Yahweh. To be honest with you, we don't know exactly which way it is. When we get to heaven, God will pronounce it for us. We'll see if we got it right or not. But Jehovah or Yahweh, okay? So number three, in most Bible translations, YHWH is indicated by Lord in all caps or by Lord in what they call small caps, which is a big L and then three uppercase O-R-D, but it's a little bit smaller, okay? So, as I said, when you read through your Bible, if you see that, the actual name of God is there. It's called, his name is Yahweh. Yes, Vita. Excuse me. So, good. Excuse me, but I picked up a little bit of cold. Anyway. So, if you see it with all capitals, it's Yahweh. But there are times that God is referred to as Adonai, which is Lord. So if you see it in the Bible as capital L, then lowercase O-R-D, it really is Lord. Okay? Now, that's all technical stuff. Let's get beyond the technical stuff. But you had to understand that. Okay? All right. The meaning of God's name. We read just a little bit earlier in Exodus 3, verses 14 to 15. It says that God revealed himself to Moses as I am who I am. But then he says, I'm going to give you my name, and it's Yahweh. And it's like, okay, what is the relationship between Yahweh and I am who I am? Well, they're not exactly the same, but they come from the same root word, which means to be or to exist. Okay, to be or to exist. In other words, the I am who I am, that makes sense. I am who I am, I am, I exist. Yahweh, I mean, that's, and when you think of I am, that's the first person. That's God speaking, I am. Yahweh is from the same root, but it means he is. So that makes sense. When God's talking about himself, the I am who I am makes sense. But when other people are going to talk to him, it's about he is. He is. And so that's what Yahweh is all about. All right? The I am that I am can also be translated I will be that I will be. And it's like, that sounds so vague. What does that really mean? Well, on your note sheet, I have this number one. The name emphasizes God's changeless, eternal self-existence. In other words, when God says, I am who I am, he basically is saying, I've always existed, I always will exist, and I will never change. I am what I am, and I don't change. I will be what I am now. I will be what I've always been. I am so glad that we can put our confidence and hope in the fact that God does not change. He's not going to be a loving, compassionate, in other words, whatever he is all the time. The other terms we're going to look at going forward, you know, loving kindness and compassion, all that. He's always that way. Yes, Lisa.
The reference number one is.
What'd you say?
Number one.
Is, yeah. It says the name emphasizes God's changeless, eternal existence. Okay? God's consistent, unshifting. He's stable. Whatever he is all the time. Have you ever known somebody that you thought you knew really, really well, and it's like all of a sudden, or maybe over time, they changed into somebody else? Or you found out something that was like hiding behind the scenes that finally was revealed or whatever. God's saying, I'm not like that. I'm not like that. What'd you say? Yeah, somebody who develops dementia sometimes gets that way. But I'm talking about people that actually were really good about hiding stuff, you know? Or just changed over time, all right? They used to be really nice and became nasty, or hopefully the opposite. They used to be really nasty and became nice. Jesus can make that kind of a change. So this name emphasizes God's changeless eternal self-existence. Number two, the name is connected with God's faithfulness to his covenant with his people. We already read Exodus 6, chapter 6, verses 2 to 8. God says, I am now revealing myself to my people, and here's the commitment I'm making. I'm going to deliver them from Egypt. I'm going to get them out of slavery. I'm going to take them into the promised land. I'm going to be their God. He says, I'm always going to do that. He said many times, the Israelites tested his patience, rebelled against him, but God never gave up on them. He was faithful to them. And then the third one is the name is connected with God's power to work on behalf of his people. Again, that same passage. God says, I'm going to use my power to deliver you. I'm going to use my power to take you through the wilderness. I'm going to use my power to take you into the promised land. All right. The next major category here is this. Jesus is also the I am. This is what's so cool, you know, that Jesus is God in the flesh. And when you know, and that's one of the reasons I took the time to do all this technical stuff, so you could understand the connection between God and the Old Testament, the I am, Yahweh, Jehovah, and Jesus in the New Testament. Because Jesus is God come in the flesh. A lot of times people say, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, it is true that we have no place recorded in Scripture where he said, I am God. Okay? But there were so many things he said that basically was saying the same thing. The main one is the scripture verse I have down there, John 8:58. When Jesus is talking, the religious leaders are there, and he says, before Abraham was, I am. He was quoting God's revelation to Moses. And it's obvious what he's doing because it says, because of that, the religious leaders wanted to stone him because he was claiming to be God. Okay? Number two, the I am statements of Jesus are linked to this name. John has seven of them. What are the I am statements of Jesus? Jesus said, I am what? I am the resurrection and the life. What else? I am the good shepherd. What'd you say? The way, the truth, and the life. What'd you say, Kingsley? The bread of life. I am the true vine. That's one of your favorites, and I know that. Excuse me. I've got the verses there. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door to the sheepfold. I am the good shepherd, the resurrection of life, the way, the truth, and the life, the true vine. We see this also in Thomas's confession in John 20:28. Remember, Thomas wasn't there the first time Jesus showed up after his resurrection. It was just the other disciples. And when Thomas showed up, they said, Jesus has been here. He says, nope, I don't believe it. I will not believe it unless I can stick my hand in his side and my fingers in the nail prints and all that kind of stuff. And next week, Jesus shows up and Jesus says, here I am, Thomas. And what Thomas fell down and he says, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Now, this was actually a declaration of Thomas that Jesus is God. And not just because he said, my God, but because he said, my Lord. That is the name of God in the Old Testament. The Jewish people, whenever they talk about that, they say, the Lord, the Lord. So when Thomas says, my Lord, he's saying, you are God. You are God. Okay. Now, I only gave you a couple of examples, but there are statements about Yahweh in the Old Testament that are said to be fulfilled in Jesus. Statements that are only true about God himself. The first one is preparation for the coming of the Lord. Preparation for the coming of the Lord. Isaiah prophesied, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That word for the Lord there is Yahweh's name. It's Yahweh. Prepare the way of Yahweh. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. How is that fulfilled? What? I'm sorry. Number four, statements about Yahweh in the Old Testament are said to be fulfilled in Jesus. So Isaiah, in this preparation for the coming of the Lord, Isaiah prophesied, in the wilderness, prepare the way of Yahweh, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That sounds very familiar. Who else said that? John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the one that came with that message. And was he talking about God the Father? No, he was preparing the way for Jesus. So basically he's saying that Jesus is God come in the flesh. The second bullet point there is the Lord is the only Savior. The Lord is the only Savior. Isaiah 45:21 says, I, the Lord. He asks a question, well, who did this or whatever? He says, I, the Lord, or I, Yahweh. There is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none besides me. So I'm the only Savior. But yet we get to the whole New Testament, basically, but Acts 4:12, it says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Talking about Jesus. And then the other bullet point there, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, we often are familiar with that in Romans 10:13, where it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, and it's talking about Jesus. But it's actually quoting from Joel. Joel chapter 2, verse 32 says, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, Yahweh, shall be saved. So again, this is Paul in Romans saying that the Lord, Yahweh, is the Savior, but Jesus is Yahweh come in the flesh. Okay. Yes, Vita. Oh yeah, Jesus said, I'm in the Father, the Father's in me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Again, even though there's no place where Jesus just stood up and that we have recordings that I am God, there are so many things that show that he is God, come in the flesh. The last bullet point there, the confession Jesus is Lord is equivalent to saying Jesus is Yahweh. And you see that all through the New Testament. You see Jesus referred to as the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a direct reference back to God's name, Yahweh. And believers were willing to die for that confession. In fact, they were supposed to say that Caesar was Lord. They wouldn't do that. They said, Jesus is Lord. And by doing that, they're not just saying, well, he's the one that's in charge. They're saying he's God. What's your question? Well, exactly what you said. That they're three in one. That we believe in the Trinity. That there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But they're all three in one. They're three distinct, but yet one being. The words are really hard to do, because no matter which word you use, somebody's going to pick it apart and say that doesn't exactly apply. But they're one, but three different persons. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is God come in the flesh. Now here's the most important part is, what is then the significance of God's name for us? The way God revealed himself in the Old Testament, the way God revealed himself through Jesus Christ, God himself, has to do with our relationship. We start off by talking about what is a name. It's not just a handle for somebody. It's who they are, their personality, their character. And one of you guys said it's our relationship with. So the thing is that all these names that God has, or titles and name, they apply to us too if we have a relationship with him. So what does that mean for us? Number one, the unchanging eternal God will always be with us and work on our behalf. The same promise that God made to his people in the Old Testament, he makes to us. The unchanging eternal God will always be with us and work on our behalf. And you can see that all through scripture. So he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Okay? Jesus told us that I will always be with you. All right? In Acts, it talks about how Jesus worked along with them. He wasn't there physically, but his spirit was there. And of course, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Okay? And then the other thing I put in there for you just to dig more deeply into are the compound names of God. The compound names of God expand this idea. Yahweh Jireh or Jehovah Jireh. We're used to more hearing Jehovah Jireh. I think Yahweh is a little more accurate, but it doesn't matter which one. Yahweh Jireh means Yahweh will provide. Yahweh Nisi means Yahweh is my banner. Well, a banner was something that an army would take into war. A standard, yes. And so basically it means God goes with you when you go to war. Yeah. A covering, okay. It could also signify ownership. Yeah, there's a lot of different aspects to a banner, yeah. Yahweh Shalom, Yahweh is peace, or Yahweh is my peace. Yahweh Sabaoth means Yahweh of hosts. This is a military picture of God as the commander of angelic armies of heaven as well as the armies of Israel. Yahweh Makadeshem, yeah, say that three times real fast, means Yahweh is my sanctifier, the one who makes me righteous. Yahweh Roy means Yahweh is my shepherd. Yahweh Tzidkenu means Yahweh is my righteousness. Yahweh Shema means Yahweh is there. And then the last thing on your note sheet, number three, we have this relationship with God through Jesus. Jesus, Yahweh in the flesh. So as we wrap this up, what you call someone says a lot about your relationship. I mean, there's only one person I call my wife. There's a couple people I call sweetheart, but it's just my wife and my daughters and granddaughters, just so you know, okay? There's a certain number of people, excuse me, I'll call friend, you know. But what you call someone says a lot about your relationship, and that goes both ways. God invites us to call him by name. And his titles. Titles are great, okay? But call him by his name. You know, he's the God who's there, who's always there, who's unchanging, who will always be loving, who will always be working on your behalf, who will always be your shepherd, who will always be your provision, who will always be the one to look out for you. Yeah, and he says, we can call him friend. Yeah, and Jesus said the same thing. So many correlations. Yes, Vita. I don't think so, but I can't say that for sure because I haven't researched it. I'd have to look at that. Okay. So as we wrap this up tonight, I just want to say, what do you most need God to be for you tonight? Now, we don't want to be needy people. It's always about me, 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 me. But you know what? We do have needs. And so I just really want to encourage, I know we've given a lot of, by the way, every lesson isn't going to be this technical. I promise. Okay? What do you most need God to be for you tonight? All these different names, all these different titles. I think the reason why God revealed himself, let him be known by so many different ones, is because there's so many different needs that we have. And I just want to encourage you to look at whatever's going on in your own life. You know, whether Lisa needs to call out and say, God is my peace, at your own testimony during prayer request time, you know, or God is my, you know, God is the Almighty God. You know, he's stronger than anything that's coming against me. God is my healer. God is my shepherd. He's going to guide and lead me, whatever it might be. Yeah, Joan, you had a question? Mm-hmm. It's like you don't want to call somebody Jezebel. Yeah, going back to meanings of names and their, what they represent. Yeah? If you hear somebody call somebody a Jezebel, that's not a good thing. No. Okay. Well, let's wrap it up with these two scriptures, okay? Isaiah 12:4, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to Yahweh. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. And then this next one, Proverbs 18:10, is the first thing that came to my mind when I first started studying this, because I started singing that old chorus. You know that old chorus, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, right? That's Proverbs, and the righteous run in, right? Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord, the name of Yahweh, that's what it literally says, is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. We can go to Yahweh, the one who always is always on our side, who's always out for us. Now, he's a good father. He'll discipline us, all that kind of stuff, but he is unchanging. We can always count on him.
Oh, yes.
Yes. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we've had together tonight. I know it got a little technical, but God, I pray you'd help us look beyond that, to learn from it, but Lord, to really focus on the fact that you have a name, not just a title. It's sort of like the president or vice president or governor or whatever has a name, but we only relate to them because of their title. We don't know them. But for people that know them, they know them by name and have a relationship. Well, Lord, we don't just know you because you have a title, because you're God, but we know you by name. And who you are to us and the relationship we have with you. And thank you that we can have a relationship with you, not just have you as our Lord and Master. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are, for all the ways you've revealed yourself through your word, but into each and every one of our lives. I pray for each and every person that is here tonight, or maybe somebody's listening to this recording at another time, whatever's going on in their life, whatever it is that they need from you tonight, Lord God, that they would realize that you're there to meet that need, whether it's peace, provision, guidance, or healing, help with that problem that keeps them from being righteous. Whatever it is, Lord God, you are the one that is the source. You're the provider of all that we need. Thank you again that we can have a relationship with you. Help us to continue to grow in that relationship, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.